أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تطع كل حلاف مهين هماز مشاء بنميم مناع للخير معتد أثيم عتل بعد ذلك زنيم أن كان ذا مال وبنين إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين سنسمه على الخرطوم صدق الله العظيم. Today we are starting from ayah number 10 of Surah Al-Qalam. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And especially this surah was revealed in reply to the kuffar of Quraysh who are accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of all different sorts of things and different type of things. Anything that would come to their mind and their tongue, they would say it against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would not hesitate to say the worst thing in the world about this great Prophet of Allah. And not only this, by saying those things even to themselves and their own relatives and people around them, they were considered to be liars because they all knew this is only accusation against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these things do not fit on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason was very simple because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had grown up amongst those people. He wasn't a foreigner, a person came from outside that no one knew who this man is. He grew up in the same community. They had seen him from his childhood. They had seen him when he was young. They had seen him when he was youth. In his youth, throughout that time, he was in front of their eyes and he's playing, doing everything, whatever he's doing, is they're watching him. He grows up and they see him as a man. And finally, by the age of 30 or 35, and even before that, they're forced to call him As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful and the most trustworthy person in the whole Makkah. And everyone knows that this person never lies. This person never cheats people. This person will never take anyone's wealth without his permission. He never likes to steal. He will never hurt other people's feelings. To the extent that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old, and the kuffar of Quraysh were reconstructing the Kaaba after the Kaaba had been demolished or burned down by a fire, they wanted to reconstruct the Kaaba. And at that time, after putting the walls together, they had a big fight about who's going to put the black stone on its proper place. And there was a big war there, and they almost had a war. And when they used to have a very dangerous war, to make that covenant and a promise to each other that we will never back up from this war, from this battle, until either we die or we get whatever we need. As a sign to that, they used to bring a pot full of blood, and they used to put their hands into that pot, into the blood, proving that now we have blood on our hands. We are going to show blood, and we are going to shed your blood if we won't get it, or you will get our blood. We will show you that we can shed our blood for it, but we have to get what we need. They did all of that. They got to this final stage, and they were about to have the worst war in Arabia could ever take place. And finally, some of the wise people amongst them said, why don't we have some people to make a decision? They said, who would make that decision? Everyone in Arabia, in Makkah, belongs to one of these clans and is going to favor one of his people. So they said, let's do this. Any person that will enter from the door of the haram, the first person to enter from the door of the haram will make the decision. And his decision should be accepted by every person. And to their surprise, the first person to enter from the door was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as they saw him, everyone said, As-Sadiq al-Ameen. This is the most truthful and the most trustworthy person that we have seen in Arabia. Radina, Radina, we are pleased with his decision. Whatever he decides, we'll take it. It was such a difficult task that it was almost impossible for a person in that situation to please one clan out of all of those big four clans of Quraysh. There was no way of pleasing all of them. And they also thought that whoever will come here and whoever will make the decision, he's going to make the decision on the favor of his own clan. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such a decision that all of them were pleased with it. He said, put the black stone on a sheet. Get the leader of each clan to carry the corner, one corner of the sheet. So four leaders of the four big clans are carrying the sheet from each corner. And when they put it, they got it to the place where it was supposed to go, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own blessed hands, he put it there in its proper place. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is how they saw him also. All of a sudden, when he started inviting them to Islam and to oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting him as a prophet of Allah, they all started accusing him of all different things. And a question was again repeatedly coming into their mind, a person who would not lie at us, is he going to lie at Allah, at God? When he's saying that Allah sent me, how can we believe that he's lying at Allah? Allah must have sent him, because we have never seen him lying before this. Now, when they realized that they cannot blame him with being a liar, so they said, magician. They said, insane person. He lost his mind. Sometime when they will have nothing else to say and their own people will reject all of these things, so then they will turn around and say, then the only thing we can think about is, it must be because he rejected our idols, so one of our idols have affected him and took his brain away from him. But at the same time, they knew that their idols could not even do that, because there are so many other people who oppose their idols, who like to destroy their idols, who hurt their idols, who break their idols. And these things do not happen to those people. So as they continued accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blaming him with all different sorts of things, and every day they are coming up with new things, and not only that, they will just say to each other, as soon as a person will come up with a new thing, he would go around and try to spread it all around Makkah. And in the days of Hajj, even Arabs used to perform Hajj. In the days of Jahiliyyah, I mean. They used to perform Hajj. Because they used to consider themselves the followers of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So as people will come to Mecca for performing Hajj, they used to assign different people standing at different borders of Mecca, we should say, because in those days they had gates for entering the town. Each town they used to have gates for entering the town. So they had assigned different people on all different gates of Mecca Mukarrama. That if any person, whenever you see a new person entering into Makkah, you should approach that person right away and inform him of this person, that this is this, all different type of blames that they could think of. Just mention everything to that person against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then scare them so much that he would not even go close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their fear was, if he would go and talk to him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites such words of Quran that he says this is from Allah. He recites such words that whoever listened to those words, that person will be affected by his words and he might go into Islam. So preventing people from even seeing him, from even talking to him, from hearing his words. And it happened in many occasions that they became the reason and the cause for many people to become Muslims. Because after scaring so many of those people, so some of the people who were intelligent or who were confident of themselves, they said to themselves that if this is so, why can't I go and talk to him and at least let me try to correct him, just with that intention. Because they were affected by all of those talks and by all of those sayings that they heard and all of those accusations that the Kuffar of Quraysh are blaming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. So some of those people would think, let me go and talk to him. This is not a good attitude. And what this man is doing is totally ridiculous. Let me go and talk to him, explain to him. So one of the people says that I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said, oh Muhammad, I know enough of your problems now. And you have been just destroying your whole tribe. Before you coming and appearing with this new message, they had no problem. They started having all of these problems because of you. And he went on and on and on with all what he have heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quietly sitting and listening to all of what he had to say. He finished. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, are you done? Because a person who's upset and full of anger and rage, he wants to see something. So let him say whatever he wants. Let him take all of it out. Are you done? So finally he was done and he said, yeah, I'm done now. What do you have to say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started reciting some ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem. When the man heard that, now he started cursing all of those people who talked to him before this against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now he's thinking about himself, why this man, if he's mad or he's a magician, why is he so important to them? There might be many other magicians in the world, they never talk against them. There might be many other insane people in the world, they never talk against them. Why they have to talk against him? And the word that I'm hearing is telling me that what they have been saying about him is not true. It reminds me, and I'm sure it's just a joke, that in a hospital where they keep all the insane people, they had a sign from outside, of course, saying the hospital for the mad people. So one day all of them gathered and started discussing what they are doing in there and what the other people are doing out there. So finally they came to a decision that the people out must be more mad than us. Still we sometimes we use our brain, people outside they never use their brain. So that then we should correct the system. The whole system is crooked. We need to correct the system. But how can we correct the whole country? One of them said, I can do it. And I'll show you the way of doing it. They said, how? He said, let me climb your bags and jump outside and I will show you something. He jumped out. He picked the sign from outside, brought it inside, and he put the sign from inside on the door saying the hospital of the insane people, which means outside of this door, everyone is insane and mad. So the sign now is from inside. So only the good, healthy people are in this building. Outside of this is all insane and mad people. So, this is what people were thinking of. Why they are just after him, if he's insane, and they are saying Majnoon. This is the word that they were using. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the beginning, in the second ayah of Surah Al-Qalam, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the blessing of your Lord, you are not Majnoon, you are not mad, you are not insane. So, as they were accusing him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking all of that. He is just continuing with his message. And this is the beauty of the good manners and characters that teaches us, that we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you start worrying of what people have to say about you and against you, you will never be able to do your work. If you want to go and confront each person that talks against you, then you will be spending all of your time, energy, and all of your strength, and all of your abilities, just trying to talk to those people and trying to correct what they think about you. Forget about those people. Just work on those who do not have that type of thinking and who can take, accept your message. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued doing the same work, constructive work. And he continued with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally revealed these ayahs of Surah Al-Qalam, telling the people and challenging people that all people, all kuffar of Quraysh, who have been accusing my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of being insane, mad, magician, all of these things, remember, I will tell you who you people are and who Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayahs. And He gave him the highest certificate any person can see in the world. And that is the fourth ayah of Surah Al-Qalam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best morals and characters in the world. The creator of these good conducts and characters is giving the certificate that out of every good that I have created, I see the best in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started mentioning some of the things that these kuffar of Quraysh had in them. Always remember, a person who has a habit of looking at others' mistakes and accusing other people, he will always have some of these bad qualities in him that makes him just run after other people. Otherwise, this will not be his way of life. Any good person, any person with real understanding, does not even like people to say about him that you are a person who just go around with rumors or who go around to talk against people. He does not even like to be seen doing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, what were the bad things these people had? And before going into that, let me just tell you one thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about the bad qualities of a person, of course, He will be talking about the ones that will be considered the worst. And He's talking about the bad qualities of kuffar. So imagine if these qualities are bad in kuffar, how bad there will be for a mu'min to have. For a kafir, the worst thing we'll say, he's a kafir, don't even worry about him. If a person will tell us that this man never performs the salah, we'll say he's a kafir. He never keeps the fast, we say he's a kafir. He never remembers Allah, we'll say he's a kafir. So, but these things are bad in kuffar, and because of their kuffar they are doing it. And even if you tell a kafir that you never perform salah, you never perform a prayer, you never remember God, he says, who cares? He does not, even himself, he does not consider that as a bad quality. But there are certain things that even the kuffar consider them bad. Even those who reject the message of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they also consider it bad. And the thing for us to think before going into them is that if these things are bad in the kuffar, how bad they will be for a mu'min to have. And therefore, as we go through the ayahs, we will need to even look at ourselves to make sure that we do not carry any of these diseases. These are the spiritual diseases a person carries. And we always might find an excuse for us to do one of these things. But no excuse will work when it comes to people seeing these things in us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeing these bad qualities in a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with, وَلَا تُطِعْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never obey كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Every oath monger, a person who's used to taking oath, Hallaf is a person who continuously keeps on taking oaths. In everything he says, he likes to take oath. I swear by God, this is how it was. Wallahi al-Azim, this is how it was. Keeps on taking oath all the time. This is a very bad quality to have. Why a person would take oath all the time? Just try to think about it. Why a person would take oath all the time? Those who have a habit of doing it all the time, why they would do it? Before answering that question, let me just correct something, that a misunderstanding that might pop up in some people's mind, that there are some nations that in their language they have a habit of just going Wallah. That's not an oath to them. To them, they do not consider it an oath. This is just a way of talk. Just like in this country, and especially there is a special group of people, or I shouldn't say group, class of people, they will stand their conversation with the curses. They don't mean to curse, but it's on their tongue. They can't even talk without it. They will say, they will give you two messages and five curses in those two messages. And he doesn't even know that he's cursing. It's just a habit. Same thing, there are people who have a habit of using it in their conversation all the time. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. This is not considered an oath according to the Sharia, except if a person will say it with an intention of taking an oath. At the same time, if he will use a stronger word, for example, Wallahi al-Azim, now it became an oath because they don't use it normally for normal conversation. So I was saying, why would a person take oath all the time? It's because this person, he even looks down at himself. And he feels people won't trust me. They won't just take my word. So I have to keep on taking oath. If I say Wallahi al-Azim, then they might take my word. And now he wants to say something else. And he will say again, Wallahi al-Azim, this is how this person was doing. And again he takes another oath. Why? Because he feels the people are going to reject it. So he's always looking down at himself. And always watch this closely. Those people who have a habit of lying and have a habit of blaming others, they will always have a lot of habit of taking a lot of oath. Because he lies all the time, so he feels that people might know that I'm lying. They might find out that I'm lying. So at every time he wants to take oath, to tell them, at this time I'm not lying. Normally I lie, but at this time I'm not lying. And he might even be lying at that time. And therefore, sometimes he makes his oath double and triple. Because he's trying to take his own confidence. He has the things about, he looks down at himself, inferiority complex, that he just looks down at himself. And now when he takes one oath, from within him something is telling him that people might know that you lie at one oath. So let me take another one and a third one. So he will take three oaths and then he will say one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you see a person having a habit of taking too many oaths, and he continuously takes and keeps on taking oaths, then stay away from the man. Then you should know that man has a habit of lying. وَلَا تُطَعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ. Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi have said in his tafsir, Ruhul Ma'ani, a beautiful tafsir. He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating the bad qualities of the kuffar with the word halaf, taking a lot of oath, we should realize that this is one of the worst qualities for a mu'min to have. To have a habit of taking oath at all the time. In Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us that it's the habit of munafiqeen. And it was the habit of munafiqeen during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep on taking oath at all the time. For example, Allah says, يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا. that would say something wrong, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call them, did you say this? يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا. They will take oath, they will swear by God, they have never said it. Another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ لِيُرْضُوكُمْ. They will keep on talking against you, and therefore, because they think you might get some of their words, words keep on flying, and they're afraid that you might have heard some of the things that they have said against you. So, يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ لِيُرْضُوكُمْ. They will swear by God and say things to please you. When they will talk to you, on your back, they'll keep on talking against you. And another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ. They will swear by God, they are one of you people. All of these things, they are lying. They know we are lying. So they always would come and they will take all. So again and again, Quran is reminding us that munafiqeen had a habit of taking oath at all the time. And they are always swearing by God that I swear we are with you people. Why do you have to swear? When you see a person in the masjid, you consider him one of the members of the Muslim community. Now he comes to you and says, I swear I'm one of you people. Now you start thinking, why does he have to say this to begin with? And why he has to take oath for confirming his message? Just like a lot of children sitting, and one of them will curse. And you will go there and you ask them, who cursed? And might be the same one who says, I didn't. You didn't say it was him, but he says, I didn't. So you ask him, why didn't he have to come up and say, I didn't? So, as it is a true story, there was a judge, a very intelligent judge in the Islamic history, from Tabi'een, Qadi Shuraih. It says about him that once a case was presented to him, that a person took some chickens of his neighbors. So he just ignored the case, and he knew that normally all the people come for Salat al-Jum'ah, so he used to leave Jum'ah in the masjid there of that community. So in Salat al-Jum'ah during the khutbah, he said, I'm amazed that some people, they will steal the chicken of their neighbors, and they come for Salat al-Jum'ah, they don't even watch that they have a feather of the chicken in their beard. And they come for Salat al-Jum'ah, and he was watching people closely as one of the people went to check his beard. After Salah, he went to him and said, where is the chicken? Because that's the only person who would think that I might have it, who took it. So, a person who's lying, he always thinks people considering him lying, and this is why he wants to take oath. And he wants to always say, by Allah, I plead. And one of the problems with this is, why it's a bad quality? Of course, with all of this, in addition to all of this, there is one more thing to it. And that thing is the worst. Which is, when a person gets a habit of always taking oath, and always swearing by Allah, he has no importance of the name of Allah. He loses the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart and his mind. Because at every message he's taking oath. So now, which message is important? What is the important message of his life? We take oath, and normal person will take an oath only when he wants to deliver a very important message. So people will know when, as soon as he takes an oath, people also become attentive, and they pay a lot of attention that if he says this, if he says Wallahi al-Azim, it must be a very important message because we have never seen him taking oath before. So, in that regard, that person keeps the greatness of Allah and the greatness of the name of Allah in his mind and other people's mind. And by taking it all the time, he loses that greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, one of the worst person is the one who sells his merchandise by taking false oath. He uses the name of Allah. He says, by God, this is a good car or whatever he's selling. There's a good merchandise. And falsely using the name of Allah to sell the merchandise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will never bless his wealth anymore. He misused the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not obey. Why is he asking him not to obey those people? The reason is not to tell him that you are about to obey and don't obey. He's telling him, O Muhammad, this is to encourage him. Yes, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you have been doing is right. Continue doing the same thing. Do not obey these people, the kuffar of Quraysh. وَلَا تُطِعْ. They do not obey these people. كُلَّ حَلَّاف. That was the first thing. The second thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, maheen, a mean person, a person who has no value, worthless person, a person who does not have importance for himself and no one else will have any importance to this person. What is the importance of that person? Maheen, hammaz, masha'im bin amim, slanderer, fault finder, a person who keeps on finding faults in others. He always looking at others to find some faults, hoping that a person will do something wrong and I'll catch him. He does not want to see good things in people. He sees, and of course when a person is trying to find faults, he keeps on watching the person, so he sees a lot of good things. So as he keeps on seeing the good things, he's getting upset. He's getting angry, doesn't want to talk about it. And he's hoping the person will do something wrong in his life, so I can catch those mistakes of his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hammaz, those people who always try to find faults and talk against others. Hammaz means a person who would talk against people's faults, against people and about their faults, whether on their face or behind their back. So includes both things, whether on people's face or backbiting people, talking about people's faults behind their back. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every slanderer, backbiter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah, very strong hadith, if you look at the wording of the hadith, whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, should say a good word, أَوْ لِيَسْمَتْ, or just be quiet. Don't say anything. You don't have to say bad things. You don't have to talk bad about people. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and well-known hadith, أَلْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. The true believer is the one who does not hurt people with his hand or through his tongue. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بِحَسْبِ إِمْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرْءِ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It's enough to know that the person is bad when he starts looking down at others. If there is a person who looks down at others and keeps on talking at people's faults, you should know that this is one of the worst people we have. بِحَسْبِ إِمْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرْءِ. It's enough to know the person is bad, that he keeps on talking against others and find faults of others. As I have mentioned this before also many times, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi have given a beautiful example of this. He says, don't be like a fly. That if a person has nice dress on and he has a good perfume, he has new dress, but he has a small wound somewhere on his body, what a fly would do? A fly would come, will go keep on flying all around the person. Nice dress, doesn't like that dress. Nice smell, doesn't like it. All of this fragrance, doesn't like it. And finally finds that wound on the body and goes and sits on that wound. Tries to find one wrong thing through the body to go and sit on it. Fly, always look for dirt. There are people who have that type of habit, attitude, like a fly, that they see a lot of good. They don't like to talk about the good. They will just try to find one bad spot on the body to go and sit on that. And then they will try to hold to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this as a third quality of the kuffar, as being one of the worst qualities even for kuffar to have, as I said. So imagine how bad they are for a mu'min and for a believer to have. Hammaz, slanderer, a person who keeps on finding faults in others. مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِينَ, who goes around spreading gossip. Masha'im binamim. Masha yamshi in Arabic language means to walk. Mashi, walk. And namma yanamu mean to keep on transferring the conversation from one group to another group, from one person to another person, with the intention of spreading evils and hatred between the two groups. This is namima. A person comes to you, he will talk to you, and then he will go to another person and will say, you know, this is what he was saying about you. Now, of course, when he would say that to him, so that person will get upset and he will say a few more words about you. He will come back to you and say, he was saying this against you. And now you will say two more words about against him, and he will take these words there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, one of the worst people is the one who keeps on getting the message and who keeps on walking around with gossip from one group to another group to spread the evils. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then to confirm the message said, وَيْلٌ لَهُ ثُمَّ وَيْلٌ لَهُ. Woe to that person, and that person surely will be destroyed. In one of the ahadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خِيَارُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. Subhanallah. The best people are those, when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the best people to be with and to be around. That when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the person, you remember, oh, I need to recite some Quran. You say subhanallah, you say alhamdulillah, you say la ilaha illallah. And he continues saying, وَشِرَارُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الْمَشَّاءُونَ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And the worst people are those who keep on walking around with gossip. Al-mufarriquna bayna al-ahibba. Those who try to break the friendship of the friends. And al-baghun al-bura al-anat. And those who keep on trying to find faults in good people. Three type of people are the worst people. Al-mashya'una bin namima. The people who keep on going around spreading gossip. Number two, المفرقون بين الأحبة, those who like to break the ties of the friends. And number three, الباغون البراء العنت, those who like to find faults in good people. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is in Bukhari, and we all can memorize it very easy. Very easy hadith, and a small hadith. لا يدخل الجنة قطات. And قطات means نمام. A person who have a habit of spreading gossip will never go to Jannah. Will never go to Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة, which means will not enter the Jannah, قطات. قطات means a person who has a habit of spreading the gossip. Taking the words from here and transferring them over there. Although the people might be saying them. And he's taking in them here and there with the intention of not correcting. If it is the intention of correcting or helping others, so some people talking against a person, planning against a person, he goes and warns that person that be careful. That's not wrong. But to go and mention it with the intention of getting something back from him or creating some problem in the community or trying to see a good fight between the two of them, and then he will sit and watch, and just like nowadays people like to sit and watch wrestling, they like to also sit in the masjid and watch people fighting. We have a habit now of doing that. We're used to it. You see in the TV, in the old days, you could never even think that a person is punching another person and you say, yeah, good, good, punch him another one. Now we have habits sitting in front of the TV and one person is beating the other one up and the other person might even be bleeding and say, good, good, we give him one more, another one, yes, go. This is a habit. We are developing those things from there. And we get it from there. And finally, a person does not even realize and he likes to see it everywhere. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by two graves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانَ. Both of them are going through punishment in their grave. Both of these people are being punished in the grave. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. And is not something
that is very major that rarely people would do it, a lot of people get involved in it. It's not something that people will consider it very major. But he says, Bala innahu lakabir. But he says, that's very major. These are two major sins. Amma ahaduhuma fakana la yastatiru min bawli. One of these people never used to protect himself against his own urine, against whenever he would urinate, will not protect himself from the drops that will fly back on him. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And the second person had a habit of spreading the gossip. Second was a slanderer who would always keep on spreading the gossip. There was a Sahabi whose name was Usama bin Shariq radiallahu anhu. He says, when I went to Medina Munawwara, at that time there were a lot of villagers that came from out of Medina, and they were surrounding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were asking him questions, different type of questions. Alayna haraj fi kada, alayna haraj fi kada, ya Rasulullah, what if we would do this, what if we would do this? So they were bombarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so many questions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Ibadallah, O servants of Allah, listen. وَضَعَ اللَّهُ الْحَرَجَ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّرَضَ مِنْ عَرْضِ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah, inshaAllah, will forgive you everything. And Allah will not hold you accountable for these things. Except if a person will take something, will hurt the honor of his brother, and a person who will try to dishonor his Muslim brother, that's a person that Allah will not forgive. Rest of the people, Allah, inshaAllah, will just send them to Jannah. But a person who will attack people's honor, a person who will try to put others down, that's a person Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. This hadith is Ibn Majah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Masha'im bin Amin, those people who are slanderers and they keep on going around with gossip. Manna'in lil khair. And at the same time, this is another bad quality, that always holding back to all the good. They don't like to benefit others, whether it's through good qualities, good attitude, or through their wealth. They don't like to benefit people. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ. If they have any khayr, they will hold it back to themselves. So all people will see from them is evils. That's all. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ. مُعْتَدٍ. مُعْتَد means transgressor, a theme, a person who is continuously is of a habit of committing sins, who always like to do wrong. And of course, since these are the qualities of the kuffar, for a mu'min will mean disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for a kafir, it means all the time having a habit of doing evils, all the time doing something wrong. He likes to hurt people, he likes to spread rumors, he likes to go back and go and hurt people's feelings. A theme, always doing something wrong to spread the evils. عُتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ زَنِيمٌ. He's a cruel, very hard, very harsh person. عُتُلْ. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Should I inform you who are the people of the Jannah? كُلُّ ضَعِيفٍ مُتَضَعِفٍ لَوْ أَخْسَمَ عَنَ اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ. Every weak and a humble person, a person who's considered to be very weak in the community, mutada'if, and he's very humble at the same time. لو أقسم على الله لأبرة. Those are the people that if they will take oath, Allah will make it happen the way they have said it. This is how much Allah loves them. ألا أنبئكم بأهل النار. Should I inform you who are the people of the hellfire? كُلُّ عُتُلٍ جَوَّازٍ مُسْتَكْبِرٌ. Every cruel person who hinders the good, who holds the good back to himself, مُسْتَكْبِرٌ, and he's arrogant at the same time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this is one of the bad qualities, عُتُل. بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ زَنِيمٌ. And after all of this, this person is baseborn. This person is trying to
say he's from a clan that he is not from. Zanim means a person who's claiming to be from a clan, from a family that he doesn't belong to, which simply means there is a doubt about his father. These ayahs, they of course talk generally about the habits of the kuffar of Quraysh and their qualities, but specifically they were about a person whose name was Walid bin Mughira. This person, Walid bin Mughira, was considered one of the leaders of Quraysh. He was a very wealthy person in Makkah and one of the worst enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People had forgotten his story because he was an older man at that time. He had many children. He had 10 children at that time. So people had forgotten his story, and many of the people would not even talk about one part of his life that Quran mentioned it at this point. And since Quran mentioned it, everyone started talking about it, and that was Zanim. Because 18 years he lived in his home and the father was rejecting him, that he's not my son. His father accepted him as his son only when he turned 18. And even after that, his father accepted him because he started earning a lot of wealth and a lot of money. So he thought, he said, okay, now you are my son. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are they doing all of this and these people are doing this because they have wealth and children? Because I blessed them with all of this, this is why they are turning away from me? And really this is a fact. The more the person has, the more the person tries to go back away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the rule, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in Quran al-Kareem also. Whenever a prophet was sent, the first people to accept the message from the prophet of Allah would be the weak people and the poor people of the community. And whenever a fitna started, Allah says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. Look at the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. Whenever we want to destroy a nation, and we decide of destroying the nation because of their evil deeds, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا, we make their wealthy people to spread the fitna and evils in the community. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ. And once those wealthy people start doing all of this, so the weak people, many of the weak people and the poor people, they just follow them. Then once that happens, فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا, then we destroy all of them. Then Allah tells us, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ. Look from the time of Nuh alayhi salam and after that. Always the leaders and the wealthy people were the cause of having all of that destruction, because they did not obey the prophets of Allah and the poor people followed them, and because of that everyone was destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Is rejecting me because I gave him wealth and I gave him children? إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When our verses are recited to him, he says, these are the tales of the old people. These are the stories of the previous nations. سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. We shall soon brand him on his nose. وَسَمَ means to have a mark. Soon we will brand him on his nose. He will have a mark on his nose. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used for nose in this ayah is al-khurtum. Khurtum is normally used for two animals. One is for elephant, the trunk of the elephant. And the second is for the nose of the pig. Khurtum is used for these two animals. You take it either way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him of something very important. If you take it of the pig, he's reminding him that with all the wealth that you have, You are just like that animal there, who feels that he's doing great, but the best food to that animal is the worst dirt that comes of the human being. So same thing, the best thing to this man, the best talks to this man are the worst qualities of people. This is all what he likes to do. This is why he used the word khurtum for him, that his behavior are just like those swines, like the pigs. And the second reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used khurtum is to remind him of the trunk of the elephant. Why? Because they had not yet forgotten the story of those people who were destroyed just in Makkah and around Makkah. The people of elephant, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ, is reminding him that you are just like one of those elephants and I will destroy you the way I have destroyed them. What does this branding him and marking his nose mean? It means both, in this life and the Akhirah. For general people, it will be only in the Akhirah, but specifically for that person meant for both in this life and Akhirah. In Akhirah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of the hellfire, their face will have a mark and will be dark, and the faces of the people of the Jannah will be shining. So that darkness is the sign that this person is going to hellfire. This is one of the meanings of branding his nose. And in this life, during the battle of Badr, one of the people from Ansar hit him with a sword on his nose. His nose was wounded, and that wound remained there. They tried to treat it every way, but it would not help, and remained there till he died. سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ, soon we will brand him on his nose. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ. Indeed, we tried them the way we tried the people of the garden. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning a story of people that were before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. InshaAllah, we will talk about that and the lessons we learned from that story and the reason that story is mentioned in this surah of Quran al-Kareem. InshaAllah, we will talk about those details in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim and give all of us tawfiq to get the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn the adab and the manners and the characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us against all of the evil conducts and characters. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.